morning we're going to be considering with the boys and girls and later on with us all the story of Daniel. And we read together in the 6th chapter, verse 1 through to verse 23, one of the most stirring, exciting, and I think challenging stories in the Old Testament that focuses on Daniel, the man of faith, the man who refused to compromise his faith even when his life was on the line. Let me briefly set the scene for you. Daniel has been carried off many years before into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. He has now been about 40 or so years in captivity. He arrived as a young man in Babylon, and now he's in his senior years, and Daniel has throughout those years remained steadfastly faithful to the Lord. In a foreign land, he had refused to deviate an iota from faithfulness to his God and his Lord. And here we have a situation where once again Daniel finds himself placed in a life or death dilemma. It pleased Darius, who was the autocratic emperor of the Near East at that time, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 governors to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The governors were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the governors by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the governors tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in Daniel, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men, who were clearly intensely jealous of Daniel, said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So the administrators and the governors went as a group to the king and said, having hatched a plot, "O King Darius, live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, governors, advisers, and others have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be annulled." So King Darius, no doubt flattered by this, put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room, where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Nothing changed for Daniel. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days anyone who prays to any god or man, except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be annulled." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel. He realized that he had been drawn into this plot unwittingly and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, Remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. Another example of idiotic bureaucratic government. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating, without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And once again, God had miraculously broken into history and preserved one of his faithful servants. Amen, and may God bless to us his own word this morning. Now, boys and girls, I hope you were listening very carefully to the story of Daniel, because it's a great story, and it's an exciting story, and it's got a story that's got much to teach us. Daniel was a servant of the living God in a foreign land. He lived in a land where hardly anyone else believed in the living God, the God of the heavens and the earth. And for many, many years, Daniel had faithfully continued to serve his God. He continued to pray. He continued to read the Bible, as other parts of the story tell us. He refused to stop being a servant of God. Even at times when people threatened his life, Daniel continued to be a servant of the living God. But there were people in the land where Daniel lived who were jealous of Daniel. Daniel was honest, because you can't be a servant of the living God and not be honest. God is the God of truth. And Daniel was honest. He wouldn't take bribes. And people, other rulers, became jealous. And they plotted and planned to get rid of Daniel. They didn't want this man around any longer. And they plotted and planned and plotted and planned. And they wondered, what can we do to get rid of this man, Daniel? Because he's someone who's just far too honest. We can't do anything wrong because of Daniel. He would tell on us. And they thought and they thought. And then they said, let's do this. Let's get the king to pass a law. And the law will say, you mustn't pray to anyone except the king. That'll sort Daniel out. Because they knew the kind of man Daniel was. They knew Daniel wouldn't stop praying for anyone. So these men plotted and planned, and they went to the king and said, King, will you please pass a law that says no one must pray to any god except to you? And the king thought, well, I think I'll just pass that law. That makes me very important. That sounds very good and grand. Nobody could pray to anyone except to me. Boy, I like that. So he passed the law. Now, Daniel knew about the law. He knew what the law said. But Daniel lived by a higher law. And that higher law was the law of God, the word of God. And the law said, no one's to pray to any god except the king. But Daniel got down on his knees, as he had always done, and continued to pray to the Lord his God. And his enemies decided and said to themselves, now we've got him. Now we've got him. And they hauled off Daniel and took him to the king. Now the king was what we would call in Glasgow a bampot. The king was a bampot. He realized too late that he had passed a bad law. Because he liked Daniel. Because the king didn't have too many honest servants. He could rely on Daniel. And then he thought, I've been a dumpling. I've been a prize bampot. Look what I've gone and done. And I can't change this law. And so Daniel was hauled off and thrown into a den of hungry lions. And I'm sure Daniel's enemies thought, that's the end of Daniel. We've got rid of him. He's a pain in the neck, this Daniel. He's always honest. He's always on about serving the Lord. We've got rid of Daniel. Whew. Now we can go on with cheating and deceiving and lying and making a mint for ourselves. Politicians don't change at all, ever. They thought, let's get rid of Daniel and let's just get on with life the way we want. Well, throughout the night, when Daniel was in the den of lions, King Darius lay in his bed. He couldn't get any peace because he realized how wrong he had been. And I think God was smiting his conscience and saying, King Darius, you have been a bampot. And he lay and tossed and he turned. And as soon as it was day, he got up and he rushed to the den of lions, wondering, is it possible? Could it be possible? Is it possible? Can Daniel still be alive? And he shouted in, Daniel, servant of the living God, are you there? And Daniel said, I'm here. Because God had shut the mouths of the lions. Maybe you're thinking, Mr. Hamilton, that's amazing. That is amazing. Don't ask me to explain it. I believe it because God's word tells me it's true. And I know the truth of God's word in my own heart. God did a great miracle. God shut the mouths of the lions. And Daniel was kept safe and well. The story of Daniel tells us two things, and I want you just to think about them briefly this morning. It tells us about Daniel's God. It tells us that God can be trusted not to leave us alone when we're in difficult circumstances. God won't ever leave any of his children alone when they're up against it, when times are hard. God can be trusted to be there. God can be trusted to be there. Maybe some people will say to you, when you're a little bit bigger, stop going to church or we'll get you at school. Or they might do worse than that. They might threaten to hurt you or hit you. I know a man, not in this country, and people said to him, if you don't stop going to church, we'll put you in jail and torture you. And they did, because he didn't stop going to church. And they've done that 3 times. I'm sure he's found it very hard and sore. But he says this, the Lord is with me. God will not leave me. He'll give me help and courage. God didn't leave Daniel alone. Because Daniel was one of God's beloved servants. God can be trusted. But the second thing is this. Not only does the story tell us a lot about Daniel's God, it tells us a lot about Daniel. Daniel was an ordinary man, but he was a man who loved the Lord. And Daniel wouldn't give up loving the Lord and serving the Lord for anyone, even if it meant he might lose his life. Boy, I find that a challenge to me. I don't know what I would do if someone came to my door and said, if you don't stop praying for 30 days, Ian Hamilton, you're for the high jump. I don't know what I would do. I hope I know what I would do. You never know until the time happens, I think. Daniel refused to compromise. That's a big word. He refused to stand back from the Lord. He said, no, I'm going to serve the Lord just as I have always done. Boys and girls, I think Daniel is a great example to us and a great challenge to us, because it asks us this question: how important is the Lord in your life? You might say, oh, Mr. Hamilton, very important. Well, it's easy to say, but our lives will tell people how important he is. And Daniel's life must have shouted out to everyone. Look at that Daniel. I think lots of folk would have thought he was a banana. He was just mad, daft. Look at him. He's risking his life for 30 days. Stop praying for 30 days. What's 30 days, Daniel? A month? 1 month out of 12? 1 month out of a lifetime? What's 30 days, Daniel? Boys and girls, I think if these people had said to Daniel, stop praying for one day, he would have said, on your bike. I will not stop for one day. I will not stop for 1 hour. Because I'm a servant of the living God. To many people, that's looked upon as being extreme. But to the God of heaven, that's looked upon as being how every Christian, how every believer is to live. And I think when Daniel got to heaven, the Lord would have said, Daniel, I'm proud of you, because with my help, you stood your ground. Will God raise up Daniels in this congregation who will stand for truth and for God and for Jesus, and no matter if the whole world around them laughs at them, mocks them, threatens them, they will simply say, my heart belongs to the King. Do what you want. I'm a servant of the living God. Boys and girls, that's the kind of life that will bring you to heaven, and no other life will get you there, because that's the kind of life that tells people that you really have believed in the Lord. Now, we're going to sing. Daniel lived at a time when faithfulness to the Lord, when faithfulness to the word of his Lord could prove very costly. And we see something of that cost in the dilemma that Daniel found himself in. He was confronted with a life or death decision, or so it seemed. He was told that a law had been passed that for 30 days no man was to pray to any god except the king. Now Daniel could have done one of two things that would have enabled him to escape from his dilemma. He could, for example, have stopped praying for 30 days. But clearly that never crossed his mind. Secondly, he could have prayed in his heart for 30 days while abstaining from all public signs of worship. For 30 days, Daniel could have become a secret believer. But that also never seemed to have crossed Daniel's mind, because he refused to even give people the impression that he was disowning his Lord for however short or brief a time. For a man like Daniel, compromise was totally out of the question. Not because he was pig-headed, not because he spoiled for a fight, but because the Lord was his Saviour, his God, his King. He could no more deny the Lord than he could deny himself breath. And so Daniel made his decision and left the consequences of it in God's hands. Daniel dared to be different. And it's that simple phrase I want briefly to leave with you this morning. Daniel dared, however tremblingly, he dared to be different. Not because he wanted to be different. Not because he thought it would be a gag to be different. He dared to be different because no other course of action could leave him faithful and true to the Lord. And so we are told that when Daniel heard the news, he did as he had always done. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God just as he had done before. For Daniel, nothing would change. No doubt friends and well-meaning advisors would have said, Daniel, we need you. Daniel, we need your presence, your testimony, your faithfulness. Daniel, would it not cost you but a little to trim your edges a little, to compromise an iota? We need you, Daniel. But for Daniel, the only way to live was to live just as he had done before. You see, when Daniel found himself in this crisis, he didn't just start to pray. When the crisis overtook Daniel, he was prepared for it in a sense, because his whole life up to this point had been a life of unyielding faithfulness to the Lord. And so, as he had always done, he got down on his knees and he prayed. Daniel changed nothing in his daily routine. And in a sense, all I want you to notice this morning is this. The beautiful simplicity about Daniel's reaction to his dilemma. No doubt people would have said, Daniel, what are you going to do? And Daniel's response was to say, what I always have done. But that might lead you to death. It might. But I will live as I have always lived. I will pray as I have always prayed. This is the beautiful simplicity that the heart of faith goes to in its times of crisis and deepest need. What are you going to do? I'm going to do as I have always done. I will lift up my heart to the Lord and bring my life, my needs, my concerns, my burdens to Him. And I find it very striking that we're told that when Daniel got down on his knees to pray, the first thing he did, now what would you have done? I think I know what I would have done. Lord, do you know the crisis, the dilemma that I'm in? Lord, deliver me. We're told in verse 10 that Daniel prayed, giving thanks to his God. Now that might sound almost perverse. Giving thanks for what? Clearly he wasn't giving thanks for the dilemma he was in. He wasn't a perverse man. seems to me that Daniel was simply giving thanks that God was his God, that he was God's servant and child, that he belonged to a God who had pledged himself in saving love ever to be his God, that he was giving thanks for the assurance that in the midst of this crisis, the Lord would not desert him or abandon him. He gave thanks. And then, in verse 11, we're told, he began asking God for help. And how did God answer Daniel's prayer? He answered his prayer for help by allowing him to be thrown into a den of lions. You might think, boy, that's a strange way to answer a cry for help. I'm sure it seems strange to Daniel. But the Lord did for Daniel what would most ultimately glorify God and be for Daniel's good. Too often we pray for easy deliverances. Too often we pray for quick deliverances, when our best interests may not lie in having an easy or quick deliverance. Would Darius the emperor have been so challenged but for Daniel's experience in the den of lions? We don't know. But God in his sovereign purpose was pleased not to grant Daniel an easy deliverance, and to answer his prayer for help in what seemed a strange and absurd way. Daniel was faced with a crisis, and I'm sure everyone looked on and asked themselves, how is this man going to cope with this crisis? Up till now, he's been unyielding in his faithfulness, but when his life is on the line, will he cave in like the rest of us? Will he just go the way that everyone goes? Will he take the line of least resistance? And they watched and they waited. And Daniel said, I'll do what I've always done. I'll live to please and serve and honour my king. I don't know what the outcome of Daniel's faith was, but I'll tell you this, when people looked on, they wouldn't be able to say, there was a man who, when all was going well, was faithful and true, but when times of crisis and difficulty came, you didn't see him for dust. They would see Daniel and say, now there's a man for whom the Lord was worthy to be trusted and served in the darkest as well as in the brightest of times. Daniel, one man who said, for me, there's no question of compromise. How could I do such a thing and sin against God? For me, there is only one way to live, the way I have lived hitherto. I'll make my decision and leave the consequences in the hands of God. That's faith. That's the life of faith. That's the evidence of saving faith in Jesus Christ. I'll make my decision and leave the consequences in God's hands. That's the kind of life that God is bound on oath to bless. May God make us men and women like Daniel, that when crises touch our lives, our first concern will be to live for God's glory and to do what will most truly honour and please and serve him.